Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Thank you.
And I want to thank everyone for tuning in on this Friday, because everyone knows that at this show, there's no censorship. If there's some nitty or gritty to get to, we will definitely go there. But, you know, we got a great show tonight. But first, I want to say thank you to all my listeners, all the ones in the United States, France, Germany, Senegal, Australia, the United Kingdom, Canada, Nigeria and Cameroon, Africa, Singapore, Pakistan, Iraq, Peru, Russia, India, and the Netherlands. So, baby, we are broadcasting all over the globe. But our show tonight is going to be spectacular, because we got the phenomenal Lamont Carey. This young man has did so many things, from acting, producing, mentoring, and, oh, my God, he's an international player. He's not just doing it in the United States. He's going all over the place, wherever it will allow him to speak and bring words of wisdom. He will be there. I met this cat long time ago, and I'm telling you, man, you know, up person, he's just one of those kind of people that make you feel like you're royalty. Now, I'm up there, you know, it's hot and everything, and I don't know nobody. I'm by myself of all these people and stuff, and he came up to me like, you know, I was a guest speaker, gave me some love, hugs. I said, oh, shit, it was going down like that. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Baby, man, you know, back in the day, man, I had so much breast, my size 54, triple D's, my back was killing me, all of that shit. Man, this little skinny little man came in and grabbed all of this. But since then, you know, I had a reduction story. Everything's a little bit more proportionate now. But I just want to say, this brother, you're going to enjoy talking to him. But I first want to say hello to my co-hosts. How you, Chris, and how you, Mark?
I'm good.
I'm doing great. Looking forward to
wonderful.
This one.
Yeah, Lamont, I'm serious. This guy, Lamont Carey, he's a guy to get to know, because his star is shining bright, and pretty soon he's going to be blinding all of y'all asses, okay? And so without further ado, I just want to welcome my guest, Lamont Carey. How you doing, baby?
I'm great.
Wow.
That's wonderful. And I'm not lying when you put the P in phenomenal. This guy, man, you know, he has been incarcerated before, but he didn't let that misfortune stop him from trying to give back, you know. And he's a man known for giving back. Anybody who know him, he will take, man, huh, he will take a dollar and make a dollar 50. He'll make it work, you know what I'm saying? He will work it out. And I'm so happy to have him here. So, you know, they were saying on the phone a few minutes ago that he sounded like Snoop Dogg. And I say to myself, are they freaking crazy? The second his voice is, he don't sound like no damn hot smoking Snoop Dogg, you know. Now, I love Snoop Dogg, don't get it wrong, but I'm just saying, it's a big difference, you know, from liking a toothpick and liking a stick, you know, but I'm just saying. I just figured I'd just go there. So, Mark, let you go first with your questions.
I'm getting his voice, anyway. But, and Lamont, I really enjoy doing research on you, because you have so many positive things to say. And what? I love your videos, in particular the one called The Streets Keep Calling Me, because it reminds me of all the times I was released from San Quentin with State of California gives you $200 gate money, and I would, instead of going to see the parole officer, I'd go to the liquor store. So it was all like Donkey Kong. As soon as I got out, and I had to go back and learn my lesson like 12 times over and over and over again. And so when was the day do you remember the day when you finally broke those chains and stopped listening to the streets call?
So actually it was before I got released, I broke those chains. Chris, you know, a lot of us don't get visits. A lot of us don't get mail. a lot of us can't really make phone calls because of the prices, or family members are not wanting to deal with us. And so I believe that broke me, that I suffered from abandonment issues. Not clinically been told that, but I know, like, I've never been so disappointed, or so it felt like I was buried alive and what wouldn't die. And so I made up my decision that if given the opportunity, that I will never put myself in a predicament where I can be abandoned by society and the people that I love. So I made that decision inside the institution.
Well, real quick, let me ask you a question about that. Mark, can I just jump in? I was so surprised when you said that a lot of y'all inmates don't get mail, or the family members shut them down, they don't want to communicate, because I used to be a correctional officer, you know, and I just never paid no attention to that, you know. I went about doing my chores, you know, making sure sanitation was straight, passing out the mail, blah, 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 blah. But I always kind of thought that they had people coming there, and they had, like, pen pals to make sure that these guys or females didn't feel abandoned. Mm-hmm. But it was like that for real?
Yeah. I mean,
wow.
If you remember, Chris, they give us like three outfits, and we usually put one of the outfits underneath the mattress. So
right,
it'd be
keep it flat and get a crease in it, yeah.
Right. Mine was under there for years. It got so bad, I stopped lifting the mattress all the way up. I would change my sheet just by lifting the edges up, trying not to see the outfit underneath the mattress, because it almost became like it was a part of the metal. And with the pen pal stuff, that was one of the first companies I wanted to start, but it's one of the companies that I just got started. But originally, I wanted to start it because I wanted to help individuals find some peace, find some freedom in their mind, and because people on the outside just don't realize like how freeing, how uplifting a piece of mail is, or a phone call, or a visit. I mean, you could have sent me a letter with nothing on it but your name on the envelope, and I'd have knew that you was thinking of me, and that would have brought a smile to my face. Right. So it's a horrible experience.
Terrible.
I need that. I needed that experience, because if I had all the visits, if I had been able to make all the phone calls, I may have not changed.
Right.
And
but that's so sad to hear that. I never thought about it from that perspective. And, I never thought about that. I just thought that, you know, everybody got family, and everybody family, even though they might not want to accept all those calls, every now and then they would go and, you know, take the babies or the children, or, you know, just say, hey, man, hold your head up. But my goodness. No, it's,
right.
Wow.
Right.
Okay, I'm sorry, Mark. I broke in. Go ahead with your question. Then I'll get to Chris. Oh, man.
Okay, me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, people don't, people are afraid to write prisoners in, inside because they want money for canteen, or they're going to come out and need a place to stay, or that kind of thing. But most of the time, they just want communication. That's all, right?
Right. Yeah, just want communication. And I try to use my pen pal site is called Serving in Time, and the goal is to help the individuals that's incarcerated to build support systems so they can talk about reentry. Of course, the men and women, somebody is going to be interested in some kind of intimate or loving relationship, but we're deprived.
Mm-hmm.
But it's up to the people in the free society to try to keep them focused, because 95% of prisoners are going to be released one day. And so my goal is to help with that transition, not just physically, but the mental transition, because a lot of times people focus on that we need jobs and that we need housing, which is true. But if we need, if we don't change the way that we're thinking, then our problem's going to keep resurfacing. One of the things that I learned in prison, like out of boredom, I used to try to get in all the programs I can to eat up their time, and I got in the NA program, Narcotics Anonymous program, and they were talking about triggers. They were talking about triggers, knowing your triggers that causes you to use again. And it was just, it was mind-opening to me because I never used drugs before, but I sold plenty of it. But it taught me about my own personal triggers, what causes me to be violent, what causes me to rush and try to get money in any way that I could. But the best thing that ever happened to me in prison was that they made me go to school because I was a juvenile. And when I got my GED, it was my first mainstream win because I dropped out of school. And so when I got in the college program, they was talking about business, and I knew business. I didn't realize to the extent because I was a drug dealer, and drug dealing is operated just like any retail business. So I learned. My new motto is keep your hustle, but change your product. And so I became my product.
Yeah.
And you're right, to be a hustler, you know, like you said, you're good at counting money, you're good at transaction, you're good at seeing the trend, whether this corner might not be lucrative or whatever the case may be, and be able to read people. So you're absolutely correct, but I'm going to let Chris jump in here real quick with his question. Go ahead, Chris.
All right, Lamont. This is, my name is Chris Michael Ward. It's nice to meet you. My question is, I did research on you too. I actually did research on you a few days ago, knowing that you were the guest this week. And one of the things that I found out was that you was part of Def Comedy Jam. How did you get involved with that?
Well, they called. The phone rung one day. And they asked, would I be interested in coming on to the show? I have no real idea on how that happened, but it was an incredible experience. And the reason that it was incredible is because I used to love DMX. And DMX, he was there. He was performing the same night that I was, but it didn't air the same show, but when I came off stage from doing my performances, he was singing my hook to me. He was like, yo, dog, I like that, dog. I have nothing. He was singing a hook to me, and that was like blew my mind. And that Def Poetry Jam opened the door to the world of arts for me.
Wow, that's awesome.
Wow. You've been very busy. But on that note, Lamont, I'm going to take a little small break. We'll be back in 2 and 2.
All right.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Just been really busy. Sorry I haven't been there this week. Yeah. I haven't forgotten, but I will be there next week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey, man. I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. The things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Oh, this is my... in my house when I'm at work all day, going day.
No! No! Who is this? Why is he in my house? Who are you, man?
Is this your mom?
Who are you? Mother, this is my woman and this is my house!
Oh, hey, my girlfriend.
Why is he in this house? What do you mean you didn't know?
When the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
Say I'm loca, crazy, that I've been tripping lately. I wanna know, baby, does that make me insecure? Mi amor, mi amor, does that make me insecure? Mi amor, mi amor, does that make me insecure? At night when you're falling asleep, hold your cell phone tighter than me. You think that I can see what's happening? You want me like ABC? Why you creep like DLC? I'll give you 2, 1, 2, 3 till I badly. You say I'm loca, crazy, that I've been tripping lately. I wanna know, baby, does that make me insecure? Me, I'm more. Winners, our love. Would you rather I just give up on us, on us? Yesterday it was all about us. Now I don't know who I can trust. Is my love not enough? I've had enough. You say I'm loca, crazy, that I've been tripping lately. I wanna know, baby, does that make me insecure? Me, I'm more. Feel I'm losing my mind, but I'm on to something different. Can't put my finger on it, but I know you're not being honest. I'm just giving you a warning. Does that make me insecure? Me, I'm more.
Unmask with authoress Terry E. Lyle. And that tune was Amari La Negra, one of our sisters from Dominican Republic. You know, and that's one of her upcoming tunes, Insecure. And for anybody who missed it, our guest tonight is the phenomenal Mr. Lamont Carey. This young man, he started with nothing and rose to be an international player. He gives back. He's an actor, producer, mentor, writer, entrepreneur, business owner, and he does so many things. But you know some, a lot of times when people get blessed, you know, they kind of want to hug it and hoard it to themselves. But unlike this young guy, you know, he gives back. You know, he's doing everything he can to help people not go to where he came from, you know, and he gave me some insight, you know, that I just never really thought about the convicts, inmates, or people, whatever you want to call them, that's inside, how precious piece of mail is communication. I know a lot of people say, I ain't accepting those phone calls. They're too expensive, blah, 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 blah. But you know, a postage stamp is under a dollar. You know, if you know somebody in there, it doesn't have to be a relative. It could just be a neighbor. It could be a friend or somebody, you know, compassion, just be a pen pal, you know. Because a lot of times, you know, if a person don't feel like they're necessary or they're not worth anything, then what happens when the time is over and they come out? Because they feel like, if you didn't care about me inside of here, I'm going to come out here and I'm going to bust you upside your head. You never know what somebody might be thinking when they got all their time to, you know, in their head, you know, think of, well, this is because of this or this because of that, because we don't know. So, you know, this is very important and intriguing, you know. But I'm going to start with my youngest son on the radio, Chris. You asked your question. And anybody, if you want to call in and talk to Lamont, just dial 347-945-6003 and hit the 1 key. But otherwise, if you don't want to talk or ask a question, it's okay. I will keep your phone muted because we do have other calls on the line. But a lot of people are bashful. They don't want to be on the radio. So it's okay. You can just listen. But Chris, go ahead with your question, darling.
All right, Lamont. Well, it's 420. Are you celebrating in any way, 420 today?
Am I celebrating any way in 420? Well,
it's the weed holiday or whatever.
Well, hey, Chris, I kind of celebrate in my own little way every day that I'm not behind one of those gates or walls. So every day I wake up
yeah,
free, my uh-huh, day start off as a success. And everything that
all
I
right,
add on to it is just even more successful. So I celebrate in my own little way every day.
All right. That's awesome.
You'd be surprised. I was talking about today, the holiday of weed. But, you know, they act like, you know, everybody smoke weed. I don't smoke weed. You know, a lot of us don't. But, you know, but my grandkids, you know, they are always excited about today.
So, hold on. So, I'm missing something. So, today is supposed to be a holiday, though?
For weed smokers, yeah, 420.
Medical marijuana
people.
Oh,
yeah,
Chris,
you know, this is all about, they be having, like, parties and festivals and dressing up and all that stuff, celebrating, you know, smoking marijuana. That's what
hey,
420
Chris,
is.
I am not a smoker, and
yeah,
okay. So I was clueless, and I still struggle with the weed being legalized. I'm not knocking anything that anybody do, but I just see, I mean, I've always grew up with the understanding that it was the gateway drug. And
mm-hmm,
so I just struggle with the gateway drug being legal, not being active. If you're going to legalize marijuana, then those that have been convicted of marijuana, sentences should be reduced, if not wiped out completely. So
I agree.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I agree, and I support the medical side of that. I don't support, you know, just getting high for nothing.
Right. Yeah. And, but Chris, this is the crazy part about it, though. So they got the medical side, and now they got the commercial side. Chris, from my understanding, we couldn't even operate a weed dispensary because we have been convicted of crimes. Which doesn't seem right. I have several issues with weed, but I do like the fact that people aren't going to jail for it anymore, or at least on the state level. But I also think that society should be aware the actual weed may not be illegal, but paraphernalia still can get you in trouble. Right?
Yeah. I was gonna say you gotta be responsible. You know, I'm not saying. I think people should be responsible with it. That's where I stand. You know, be responsible and use it for medical purposes. But I don't think people should have went to jail for weed to begin with. So,
right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I had no clue that there was a weed celebration day.
Yep, 420.
Wow.
April 20th. Yeah. So now that's something that you can add to many things up when you be speaking, guest speaker and stuff. But I'm going to let Mark go. He was just so excited, and I appreciate both him and Chris doing their research and their homework on you, because they would say, ooh, I've been researching him, so now I'd like that. You know, I know you personally, so I'm going to let this be about them asking their questions so they can get to know you better, you know. So, Mark, this is your opportunity. Yeah,
on that same note, personally, I'm an alcoholic, so I know that if I take a smoke of weed, I get powerful thirsty, and it leads me back to my drug of choice, which is alcohol. So I leave the shit alone.
Right.
I don't.
Right.
You're thirsty and you get the munchies.
Oh, really? Oh my God! It leads me right back to the liquor store and misery all over again. But anyway, my question, Lamont, was that you did a video about tips about how to get along with your probation officer and your parole officer, and I really, really like that. Can you tell the listeners about some of the things, the do's and don'ts to deal with when you're on parole or probation?
Sure. But first, I want to commend you, man, on your sobriety. I know that had to be a serious battle that you are constantly have to wage war against to win.
Every day.
So wow. Congratulations. You're a
Thank
strong
you.
Guy.
Thank you.
Now, in regards to parole or probation, the number one thing that individuals got to be mindful of, parole and probation is a condition of release. So in all actuality, you are still incarcerated, even though you are walking around in free society. And some people get frustrated and be like, why I can't do this? Why I can't go here? I'm free. Why they got to keep their hands on me? When all actuality, you are really still technically locked up. And so one of the things that I encourage people that's on parole and probation to do is to make your parole officer your best friend. And the reason
Amen.
I think it's important to make them a part of your support team is because, one, first of all, they have control over whether you are free or whether you're not. Two, if you get along with them, you can get more accomplished. So say if you want to travel from San Diego to Washington, D.C., you got to get permission to do that. And if you're not in good standards, if you're not in compliance, your PO can say, no, you can't go. So that being a great relationship with them, limits how free and how much you can do. The other thing is that parole officers and probation officers have been doing the job for however long they've been doing it, so they have relationships in the community. And if you're not a person that they look highly upon, they're not going to give you access to their resources, which might be employment, which may be housing, which may be anything that's connected to making your transition even more successful. But if you're on bad terms with your parole officer or your probation officer, that can become a nightmare. So my goal, when I tell people, make them a part of your plan. If they want you to come in two times a week, then you got to create your schedule to include them two times a week and build a rapport with them, right? Build a rapport with them so they know that you're a good guy or you're a good woman and you're trying your best to get off parole, because they are the ones that can help you get off parole faster. So the goal is, if your goal is to stay free and you're on parole or probation, you must make that parole officer, probation officer your best friend. That is the key to your freedom.
I do. Right. I have.
Well, let me ask you this question, Lamont. You have said how difficult it is from the perspective of no physical contact, whether it's by mail or by phone or whatever, or visits. Can you give some of these young people who's out in the street and, you know, they act like they bad, you know, because they got a little group and, you know, they think they all hard because they got some cash in their pocket because they may be slinging drugs or whatever the case may be. I give them the real rundown, because, you know, I know for a fact, you know, when you're coming in there and you're brand new and you're looking kind of young and everything, and these people in there that are lifers, you know, if they happen to mix y'all up together, you know, you can't hurt a lifer because you can't give them another ticket or whatever. It's not going to impress them because they're there for life. So you can't intimidate them. So if they want to sit there and snatch that young boy and violate him or whatever, whatever, let these people know that, you know, it's not all glorified by what you see on TV. Let them know what the real deal is. And you better hope you got some friends in there if you don't know how to fight.
So the first thing, right? You cannot scare young people about prison. But the reality is the thing that they're going to lose more than anything, those friendships going to betray them. Those individuals that they're committing crimes with, they're not going to be there supporting them. They're not going to be in the visiting room all the time to see them. They're not going to be accepting their phone calls. They're not going to be writing them letters. So that loyalty that they have to the street life, the street life is fictitious. The street life is fantasy like books that we write because those guys do not live up to those street codes. And in terms, so that is the thing, the most powerful thing that you lose in prison. You cannot scare our young people with the violence that goes on in prison because they believe that they can handle it. But what I'm telling them, what they can't handle, on the hottest days of the summer, the count doesn't clear sometimes, and the AC isn't working. So it's 95 degrees outside, but it's 107 degrees inside. On the coldest day of the winter, the heat doesn't work. So the physical violence, but the mental torture and the other thing about doing time in prison, you lose time gradually with what's really going on in reality. So you start to create what you think is going on in society and how you're going to be successful. So your reality in some fashion becomes distorted. But the violence in prison is real, and prison is one of the most segregated places on the planet, right? And so, if you go to a prison, you're gonna feel forced to be affiliated with some group in order to survive. So prison turns you into a racist, right? Prison turns you into a predator because if you have never killed, if you go to prison for still in a car, within 6 months, you're going to have the mentality that you are capable of killing because that is what prison does to you. It's the most dangerous place on the planet where you have to be prepared to kill somebody in an instance, right?
Wow.
So the fear that we implant in children about going to prison because of the rapes, because of the stabbings, because of all of that stuff exists.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest thing that they stand to lose is their humanity, right? The things that they love, that they would have killed for. If you're selling drugs or breaking the law to take care of your family, going to prison, you abandon everything that you said that you was going to protect. You leave your mother vulnerable for whatever you feared that you had to protect her from. When you go to prison, you lose your safety. And you lose the safety of your family, and you destroy a sense of reality, and it's going to be so hard for you to get your life back on track. So it's not about the physical violence that you lose in prison, but you lose who you are. And the physical violence is just your way of lashing out. And it's one of the most dangerous places that I have ever been, but the mental torture is more horrifying than the physical to me.
That's right.
But you know, there's a code where snitches get ditches. You know, you can't tell on nobody on the inside. You know, but a lot of times, you know, I've heard that those people that y'all was committing these crimes with on the outside, you know, you didn't want to give them up. But they turned on you so they wouldn't have to go there. You know, what do they have to do as far as, you know, maintain their safety? Because a lot of people that's incarcerated, they don't want to ask the officer that's on duty to help them out or tell them what's going on because they're afraid that when that officer go home, they still stuck there with the rest of those people.
So the code of silence carries all out through our whole culture. You got the police with the code of blue, right? You got the Congress that don't retaliate against whistleblowers. So telling is a part. I mean, lashing out at people that tell is a part of our culture. But how you survive in prison is that you be you, right? That you use your ability to read people to figure out who you associate yourself with, right? And I'm not gonna say there's never gonna become a time that you may have to fight, because sooner or later somebody is gonna test you. But you don't have to kill. You don't have to stab to build a reputation in prison, because this is the one thing about prison and prison violence. It's a thinking man's game. If you stay focused on freedom, you can figure out how to navigate around all of that chaos that goes on in prison. But if you go to prison and you become violent because you think that's what you have to do, that you have to prove yourself in order to be respected, guess what that does? That causes you to lose good time, so you be in prison longer. That causes you to lose privileges, so you spend more time in a hole, right? And that causes you to be physically harmed. But if you think that you keep your mind on getting free as fast as you can and think, then you figure out how to navigate, because I started out in prison being violent. But once I realized that that wasn't helping me go home, I focused on programming. So the goal with prison is to get out as fast as you can, and being a part of violence is never going to work. But I'm not saying that you may never have to fight for your life, right? But you only fight for your life when you have to. But outside of that, you got to focus on coming home. You focus on going home. All the violence that you could ever want, you can have in prison, right? But if you focus on going home, if you focus on freedom, then you will learn to make better decisions in the worst conditions that you could ever find yourself in. And if you can survive through prison without getting caught up in the nonsense, it increases your chances of being successful when you come home. Again, prison is a thinking man and woman's game. You got to outthink your opponent and not get caught up in the prison politics, and that is what keeps you in prison. That is what puts you in a position to be raped. So you observe everything. You will figure out who is there to harm you, and you place your back against the wall to be able to defend for yourself if need be. But you don't go to prison with the sole purpose of proving that you are a man, because real men and women focus on how the hell do I get out of here as fast as I can.
Right.
And I know it's probably not the answer that seems most appropriate, because most people think that the physical violence is the way that you survive in prison, but it's not. Most people in prison only use violence. The people that want to go home only use violence as a last resort. But those that lose hope, those that give up on freedom, they become the predators. And sooner or later, you're going to bump into one of them where you're going to have to defend yourself, maybe physically. But most of the time, if you carry yourself as a respectable man or woman and you extend that respect to everybody else, most people are going to stay out of your way.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow. Well, Chris, I'm going to let you jump in there with your question, baby. I see you sitting in the background.
All right. Well, here's my this is my question. And as he was talking, Lamont, I was thinking this, and I don't mean to disrespect you, and I'm saying that in case I do, and not intentionally. But if prison's so dangerous and you don't want to be, how about wouldn't it be smarter to not commit the crime to begin with? Like, you know, you're talking about stealing like cars and stuff. Wouldn't it be smarter to not do that if you don't want to be in prison?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
But sometimes, I'm not going to.
But the truth.
He's going to have his reasoning, but And the real deal, Chris, sometimes is what you just got to do to survive. You know, if you have never been hungry, then, you know, you can't understand what a person will do to, you know, try to make sure there's food in their belly, food in the family's belly. You know, and sometimes, you know, these are not always bad people. Everybody is not ruthless in their mindset that's in jail. Some people are just trying to survive, you know, where job situation is not always good. You know, if you got a guy in the home with the mother, then she can't get assistance from the state, because the only way they try to give you assistance if the family is broken up. They won't try to help a family that's trying to stay together. So it's a lot of things that people just don't always just go deal with crime or selling drugs or whatever they're doing just because they just want to do it, and they're not wise, and they don't realize that the alternative is jail. Sometimes, depending on where your life is, you take that risk, you know, because life is a risk, you know,
yeah.
How to get from one
yep.
step to the next step, you know. A lot of people got that mindset, if I just get right here, then I'm going to stop, and then sometimes you get busted. It's just
I get that.
Some people don't realize all the options that exist. And if you come from a community where you only travel within a 4-mile radius and all you see is brokenness and hopelessness, and you see crime, because I learned how to sell drugs just coming outside to play. And so even though I knew deep down that it was wrong, but it seemed so easy. And I wanted to get out of the community that I was in, and I didn't realize all the other options, the legal options that exist to make money, from the cutting of the grass to using whatever talents I have to make money. If everything that exists, you can anything that exists, you can sell, right? People just don't realize all the legal options that exist. And you got to remember that most of the time, most people that get arrested, they are young with limited life experiences, and they are impulsive. They believe that if they don't do something right now, tomorrow may never come. And then some of our young folks are fed that they're going to be dead before the age of 18, just like I wrote a book with the same name. And so some young people that think they're going to be dead before the age of 18, they get on survival mode. They kill, they rob, they do all that stuff in the effort to try to live, right? They become violent to try to live, but just not realizing, thinking, having great decision-making skills, and realizing what options exist will enhance your chances of never going to prison, never being shot, never being stabbed, because there are individuals in our community who make the right decisions from young ages, but it's just not a whole lot of positive influences in all of our communities. And we're not aware of all the options that exist to take care of our family and to take care of ourselves legally. And so when you feel like your back is up against the wall and you have no other choice, you make bad decisions. And then you have the school system sometimes telling you, when you turn on the news and the news said public schools are underfunded, public schools have outdated books. So as a child, you may think, why should I go to that place if they already telling me on the news that I'm going to fail? Right?
Right.
So
right.
Communities to change in order for young people to stop getting arrested, and in order for older people to stop getting arrested or being rearrested, they have to be made aware of real legal opportunities that exist, and they have to have access to health care, right? Because if they're not health, if they don't have insurance, because most of them don't go to the doctor because they don't have insurance because it's so high. They have to have access to being able to earn an honest living. And so they're like Terry was saying, in a lot of our communities, our families, our mothers can't get housing unless she's not with the father, right? Which is crazy, because they would say that particularly black men, abandon their families, but they don't look at black men are forced out of the family in order for the mother to have a roof to put over the child's head. And so without their father there to give balance, the kid needs that other breath, that other world of experience that can help guide them and make them grow up to be more productive people. But the other thing that I don't like is that society will tell our young people, because your father isn't in your life, you're going to always have a hole and you're going to always be broken. And fathers are greatly needed, but I think it's wrong to tell a child that they can never be anything because they don't have this thing, this man or this woman in their life. I think if you give a child, if you convince a child that they're going to always be broken, then children will always do broken things, right? So I always encourage, if a woman is raising a child without the father, that she place them around positive men that can reinforce, right, the role of what that biological father is unable to provide. But the reason, one of the reasons that our children are committing crimes, there are a plethora of reasons, but not realizing the options that exist and also being preyed upon by some police officers, right? And when schools demand that police officers have a presence in them, then it takes out of how the school usually handles situations between adolescents. And so everything becomes a crime. And so that feeds the school, the prison pipeline, because they make simple things criminal offenses. And when you lock a child up at 9 years old for arguing or fighting in school, and you lock them up, you've already given them a taste of prison, and then you release them, and that child begins to believe that they can handle prison, and so they take more risk. So the reason that we experience so many juvenile arrests and juvenile crimes, because adults have abandoned our positions as guardians and guidance counselors for the children in our community. We leave our children to fend for themselves because we have become afraid of engaging the kids that we're supposed to be hope raising, and that is what takes a village, all of us being a part of a child's life.
You're right about that. Yeah, because you see the outcome on the media, you know, and we got to start small, if not just by saying to a child, you know, son, put them pants up. We don't need to see your underwear, because if something was to break out, you know, and you might be an A student in school, but because you're dressing like the crowd, you're being stereotyped that you're one of those bad kids. And when, you know, stuff go down, they're not trying to figure who did what. They're looking at the visual and their preconceived notion that, okay, you one of these rebel rousers, you know.
Right. Let me tell you something that y'all can use, that I use with young boys, right? I ask young boys, I say, when you see a female with that banging body, with that big old booty or whatever, right, what do you say? They be like, damn, she fat as I don't know what. I like that. I want to hit that. I said, just imagine when you walking down the streets and you feel eyes on you. That's some man looking at your butt because you got your butt hanging out your pants, thinking of you the same way that you think about them females with them nice bodies. And I'm telling you, sir, I've seen them slide them pants up.
I know that's right. That will get the attention. Yes. Oof. That's a good analogy to tell them that will get their attention just by hearing it. I said, ooh, because that's nasty. And so I can imagine how they feel.
Right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. But you know, real quick, we kind of running out of time. I want you, Lamont, to tell everyone how they can get a hold of you, what books you got out, because, man, this hour is running out fast. So that's because you're so dynamic and got so many things going on. So I'm going to give you this opportunity real quick to say what you got to say, baby.
Okay, so I just want to direct them. I mean, you can find out everything about what I have and what I'm doing if you go to my website. It's lamontcarey.com. So that's LamontCarey. And I have, if you're concerned about young folks, making young folks' lives better, I have a book currently out that is everybody seeming to love called Dead Before 18, Saving Our Boys from the Streets. And it speaks directly to the juveniles about the things that they're going through. It talks about how to deal with your anger, how to handle yourself when you get approached by the police, how to be aware when you're being recruited to be a drug dealer or a gang member, and how to avoid that stuff. We talk about tattoos, everything from sagging pants. And what I found is that young people are loving this book because it's information that's being given to them in a way that they can understand. And so I encourage you to check this book out if you engage with some young folks, if you're working in an institution, or if you just have a son. And it's just not for kids that are at risk. It's for all boys, because all boys
encounter
challenges. And so I ask you to go to my website, lamontcarey.com, and all of those places that Terry named all over this country, I will come
mm-hmm.
to you.
That's
so
right.
So go to my website and let's talk. You can, if you want to see my prices, go to the website, and it's under, I believe it's our staff, and you can download my press kit, and you can see what my prices are. If you think I'm expensive, just give us a call and we'll see how we can save some lives together. And if you're working with adults who are in prison or on their way, who have just gotten out of prison, the best thing I think that you can ask them to help them to stay on track, what is that thing that they wanted to do for the rest of their life when they were in prison? Because that's the thing that they have researched. That's the thing that they have dreamed about. And sometimes when they get out here, they lose track of the plans that they created in prison. And the last thing I want to tell you is that we all make mistakes. But when you find out that I have been in prison, don't just automatically believe or see my mugshot. Because today I'm a great, phenomenal young man that is
trying to
save lives. And I want to join forces with you all in saving as many lives as we can, because we are the village. So let's get together and make our world a better place.
And
that's
on
right.
that note, Lamont, you can make a little MP3 about what you're doing to help people, and I can put that on my studio wall, and I can play that during commercial breaks so we can reach more people, because we've got a broad listening audience. And I know we're running out of time. We only got like 2 minutes. So, Mark, Chris, go ahead and say your goodbyes to us, because we run out of time, baby.
All right. Goodbye, Lamont. Nice to meet you.
It was a pleasure meeting all of you.
Real quickly, Lamont, how did the Diamonds and Pearls charity ball go? Real quickly.
How did it what?
The Diamonds and Pearls charity ball. It's on your Twitter thing. Just happened. You were the guest speaker there.
Oh yeah, that was actually a great experience, and I need to see these people again. It was great. I'm on my way to Wichita on the 27th to the 29th with the organization called Rise Up, and then I'm in Dallas, Texas, on the 1st to the 2nd. I don't know the exact information, but I'm sure it's probably on my website, or it will be.
All right.
On that note, thank you, Lamont, for taking out the time of your busy schedule to hang out with us. And I'm sure our listeners, y'all have benefited from this interview, because, like I said, the guy's phenomenal with a capital P. You want to talk to him?
Yes.
He'll get a hookup with you. Reach him out on Facebook, on Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah.
So he's all around.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And thank you so much. So we got to run, and I'll see y'all again same time next week at 7:30. Have a good weekend.
See you, Terry.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.